Okay, could everybody be seated who wants to attend? Our next speaker is David Smith. Most of you probably know him, founder of RetroSheet, president of RetroSheet. Two times he's won the Doug Pappas Award. He's also won Bob Davies Award. And this is presentation number 24, so as timekeeper, I'll probably have a kick back and take it easy. Okay, take it away.
Okay, as we all know, that time of game and pace of play are hot topics in MLB and the press especially. For several years now, the average game has taken over 3 hours. And there's all sorts of people who see this as a problem, not just a reality, but a problem that has to be addressed. I did this a little bit last year in Pittsburgh. I looked at 110 seasons of data, and I tried to see things that had changed. And what I really found over those seasons is only two things that changed a lot. One is the number of strikeouts, which of course is way up, and the other, for the last 30 years when we have pitch data, is that the number of pitches per game has increased. Now, at that conference also, Eliza Richardson Malone gave her results of a study she did in 2017 where she manually timed the times between pitches for 31 starting pitchers. Now, her data set's limited, 31 pitchers, but her conclusion was clear that very few pitchers went beyond 20 seconds. So the major league rule, the rule that's in the book that says you have to throw the ball in 20 seconds, and all the ranting that we have to really crack down on the 20-second rule, it's a solution to a problem that doesn't really exist. Very few people are exceeding the 20 seconds anyway. So what I decided this year is to do it exhaustively. That's the way I tend to do these things. And with the help of Major League Baseball Advanced Media, MLBAM, I have the exact time to the second that every pitch was thrown for every game last year, except for the two played in Puerto Rico and the three in Mexico. They didn't collect data for those two. So I have all the other 2,427 games. So what I have, by showing the details, there were 717,410 pitches last year. So I only did one season, which is really weird for me. I usually do 100, but so I just did one. And that, by the way, that works out to 148 pitches per team per game, which is an interesting number in itself. I'm not sure you would necessarily get off the top of your head. But I have to be a little clearer about this. My main focus that I started with was the time between pitches. That means consecutive pitches to the same batter. That means the last pitch to each batter doesn't count in that because there is no next pitch to them. So if I exclude all of those last pitches, then we're down to 511,728 what I call interval pitches, where there wasn't an interval. So we lose 200,000 pitches. We still have 500,000. I think that's okay to be working on. And when you look at all those, the average for all pitches across all situations for all games is 23.8 seconds between pitches, which is not real far from the 20. Of course, I want to do more than just do that. So I looked at several intervals. In addition to the time between pitches, I looked at how long mound visits take, how long it takes between batters, how long it takes between innings, how long do substitutions take, how long do replay challenges take, how long do ejections take, and how long do injuries take. I couldn't think of anything else to subdivide. If you have some other suggestions, let me know, but I can't think of anything else to do. What's that? Streakers. Now, there weren't any last year, so it was okay. And I also looked at the length of each inning, since people have noted that the game seems to slow down as it goes on. So first of all, here's a table with two columns. Look at the left-hand column first. Just look over here first. And you see that with nobody on base, all pitches, the average is 20.3 seconds. If the pitch is a ball, then before the next pitch, it's 18.7. After a called strike, it's 17. After a swinging strike, it's 20. After a foul ball, it's 26. So the ones where the ball is not put in play are pretty close. The foul ball, the interval after a foul ball, is longer. Well, it makes sense. In the modern day, every foul ball results in a new ball being put in play, which takes time. But of course, foul balls are very variable. Some are fouled to the batter's feet, and some are hit 300 feet down the line. So there's a lot of variation in that number. But on the average, it's a little bit longer, which is what you would expect. Now look at the right-hand column. Conventional wisdom that the game slows down when people get on base, no question. So the left-hand column is nobody on. The right-hand column is man on first only. Bases are empty 54% of the time, man on first 18% of the time, which is an interesting number. And if you look at that and go down that column, every one of those numbers is about 8 seconds more than the bases empty situation. So it's true. There was a man on first, it takes 8 seconds more for each pitch interval. But there's more than that, because you have to consider throws to first. So I cataloged 11,194 throws to first, 10,755 by pitchers, 439 by catchers. Each pickoff throw adds 25 seconds to the game. Very interesting. I wasn't really sure what that was going to be until I fought my way through all of that. And if you make the correction for pickoff throws and subtract that out from my previous table, you find that two-thirds of the difference between bases empty and man on first are throws to first. So it's not just the pitcher stands out there. It's actually throws to first that are taking a little more time with the man on first base. I also started chronicling mound visits. I only thought of doing that starting on the 1st of July, so I only have about half a season for this. And I did the following. I chronicled 6,459 mound visits, because we know that starting last year, teams were limited to 6 mound visits per game. That's been reduced this year to 5 mound visits per game. And they keep track of that in the scoreboard. I'm sure we all saw that last night. And when you do that, look at the mound visits. They are very, very clear in the rules about how long these are supposed to take. The actual average time for mound visit was 81 seconds. Now, that means 81 seconds from the time of the last pitch to the next pitch. That's what I'm timing, is time between pitches. The Major League rule says it's 30 seconds for a mound visit, and 30 is not anywhere near 81. But the timing is very clear. The timing does not begin until the manager leaves the dugout, and it doesn't talk about how long it takes for him to get back to the dugout afterwards. It's only 30 seconds on the mound. So the actual time is 81 seconds. They can meet their 30-second standard, but it's really taking 81 seconds, not just 30. Now, player visits to the mound also count on this, but MLB does not specify how you're supposed to time all of those. Okay. In addition... Oh, by the way, if the manager comes out and makes a change, then that does not count as a mound visit. If he comes out and changes the pitcher, that does not deprive them of one of their choices. Next thing I look at was time between batters. How long does it take when one batter is done before the next batter gets up? So again, this is from the last pitch to the previous batter to the first pitch to the next batter. And the average is 54 seconds across the year. But this changes a lot during the game, and this is a very interesting figure. First of all, you look at the line with the green dots. That's the average. That's a 54 across all of that. Change it by inning, and 10 is all extra innings combined. I thought that was the easiest thing to do. And what we find, of course, is that early in the game, time between batters is pretty quick. As the game goes on, it goes up and up and up and up. And then it goes down again, and then it goes up. That's a very interesting pattern. And what my take on that is, early in the game, people are more relaxed, they just get in and hit. As the game goes on and situations get more tense, batters take longer, pitchers take longer, and it takes a little bit longer. And that accounts for the big peak in the seventh inning, which I've showed before is the real crucial inning for scoring. So why does it go down in the eighth inning and the ninth inning? Well, 2 years ago in New York, I showed that over 50% of all games have a margin of 3 runs or more at the end of the eighth inning. So at the end of the eighth inning, most games have 3 runs, and the team in the lead wins 97% of those. So there's not a lot of drama in the ninth inning in most games, and I think people are just getting through it. They're not really concentrating and fretting about it. Extra innings, of course, by definition, are closer games, and they start to take more time because they're probably taking more time to get ready for it. I think that's reasonable, but it's not a pattern that I was going to expect. Now, how about time between innings? This is a real interesting one because MLB has been pushing and putting regulations, and umpires have stopwatches. They've fiddled with this a lot of different ways in the last 10 years. The average time between innings is 2 minutes and 42 seconds. Okay. MLB promulgated a bunch of rules last year based on the kind of the TV telecast. So the first row, local TV, MLB says it will take 2 minutes and 5 seconds. The actual is 2 minutes and 41. And again, that's last pitch to the last batter to the first pitch to the next batter. National TV, 225, it's really 255. Postseason games can take 255. I didn't study those. There's not enough of those. I mean, I like thousands of games in my data set. There's just not enough postseason games for that. But what you find, of course, is that the actual time is much more than what they say that the rule is. And if you notice at the game last night, there's a clock off to the left that shows that the countdown clock. You know, when do you start that clock? They have very clear rules on when you start timing. And it specifies different things for, in fact, if you bring a relief pitcher in to start an inning, the clock starts at a different time. It's like 3 paragraphs of rules on all of this. But the final thing to note on this is national TV games. There were 62 games last year that were designated as national games, which left 2,368 local games. So the difference, obviously, is much higher for the local games than it is for the national games. In any case, these times are way beyond the stated limits for MLB. But they can meet those standards, but not meet the standards. They meet them in terms of when they time them, but they don't meet them in terms of how much time they actually consume, which I thought was more interesting. Next thing I look at is time between innings. Well, that's another interesting variable. And here's a remarkable graph. The average time between innings is 2:41, and the green line shows everybody, the average across all of those. And the blue and the red are for, the blue is for time after the visiting team bats, red after the home team bats. Well, first you see, it does get a little bit longer as the game goes on. They do take a little bit more. But the dramatic point is that one, at the end of the top of the seventh. Well, what happens at the end of the top of the seventh is the seventh inning stretch. And so this became really interesting. How long is the seventh inning stretch, and how different is it? We see that it's 17 seconds longer than the home team. Well, it turns out that for all games, the seventh inning stretch takes 3 minutes and 6 seconds. If they play Take Me Out to the Ball Game, it's 2 minutes and 53 seconds. Or if you're in Baltimore, they play Thank God I'm a Country Boy, but it's 2 minutes and 53 seconds. If you play God Bless America, it's 4 minutes and 4 seconds. Now, God Bless America is played on Sundays in most parks. There's three exceptions. The Yankees play it every day. Oakland and Toronto don't play it at all. So I added in the Yankee non-Sunday games, subtracted out the Oakland and Toronto, and you find out that overall, it's the time I said, it's 3 minutes and some for all of those. So seventh inning stretch, God Bless America is adding a lot to the game. Next thing I looked at was substitutions. Well, substitutions, of course, are going to take time. And here's a table. I just put them all up at once. Look at the left-hand column. If there are substitutions at the start of an inning, the average is it adds 13 seconds. If it's a pitcher change, it adds 14. If it's a pinch hitter, it adds 6. If it's a change in the middle of the inning, 83 seconds overall, with 138 for a pitcher change and 14 for a pinch hitter. So it takes 2 minutes and 18 seconds for a mid-inning pitcher change. At first, I thought, well, this is one of the key things for slow games. What I showed in last year's paper is that, remarkably, for the last 20 years, there is not an increase in mid-inning pitcher changes, to my surprise. Total number of relief pitchers has gone up, but mid-inning changes have not gone up, so they're not the real culprits in all of this. Well, the next thing, of course, is we live in the age of replay challenges. Last night, of course, we had 4. I've got something to say about that, too. And these occur in different situations, and here's those results. If the replay challenge happens at the end of a batter, safe out call at first base, 2 minutes and 42 seconds. If it happens at the end of an inning, which we saw one or two of last night, it takes 4 minutes and 26 seconds. If you have a change in the mid-batter, like a pickoff throw, which we saw, or a hit-by-pitch challenge, that takes 3 minutes. Overall, you weight those things properly, it's 3 minutes and 5 seconds. MLB has started for several years now reporting how long the average challenge takes. Their report is 1 minute and 28 seconds, which is half of my time. But again, when do they time it? They start the timing from the moment the umpire commits to the review until he's done on the headsets. They don't talk about the timing before it. My time is the actual time consumed between pitches. So minute and 28 seconds sounds nice, but it's half of what it really is doing for the slowing down of the game. Now, how about time to play each inning? This is the playing time. Before I did between innings, this is actual playing time. And once again, we got separated by home team and road team, and you find that the home team takes longer. Every inning, it takes longer for the home team to complete its half inning than it does for the visiting team. It's about 3% more, which correlates with the scoring difference in most of those innings. So they're just doing more. And again, it starts out at a certain value, then it gets low, and it rises up to the seventh, and then it declines, just like the between batter times. It's exactly the same kind of thing. I was surprised that came out to be such a clear thing. If you add up all of those half innings, and I'll come back to my conclusions. If you add up all those half innings, the average 8.5 inning game, like one we saw last night, there are 2 hours and 12 minutes of actual playing time. An average 9-inning game, if the home team bats in the ninth, it's 2 hours and 20 minutes. Those are interesting numbers. We'll come back to that. Of course, a lot of people have complained that individual pitchers are very variable. Well, they are variable. And I looked at all pitchers, and I decided to limit the noise in the data. I would only look at pitchers who threw at least 100 of my interval-type pitches with no one on base. And there turned out to be 575 pitchers who met that criterion, so that's pretty good. The range was 15 seconds for the fastest guy to 28 for the slowest guy. Well, that's a pretty big range, a 13-second range. And that sounds like a lot, but I also, before I get to the next revealing point on this, I looked at a performance, two performance measures. What's the earned run average of these different pitchers? Is it true that the slow pitchers have higher ERA? Does this hurt their performance? And I also looked at WHIP, walks and hits per inning. And it turns out there's no relationship whatsoever. The slow and fast pitchers are indistinguishable on what the results are. But then I did this. I did a distribution of all the pitchers, and this is how many pitchers are in each interval, and the box I drew covers 80% of the pitchers. So in fact, there are some pitchers that take 28 seconds, but there aren't very many of them. That the large majority are right in that 20-second range, which is where we already thought they were, but it's nice to know that for sure. I also looked at individual batters, and the range for individual batters is a little narrower, 17 seconds for the slow and 26 seconds for the fast. I didn't do the same distribution, but it's the same thing. The batters are just a little bit tighter. And I also looked at the umpire. I mean, different plate umpires, right? That's the other guy involved in every one of these pitches. And it turns out that the slowest umpire had 20.5 seconds, and the fastest was 19.3. That's 1.2 second difference. So I think we can safely conclude the identity of the plate umpire is not a very relevant factor in all of this. How about ejections? Well, there were 87 what I call ejection episodes last year that saw the removal of 189 players, coaches, and managers. What those numbers tell us is that most ejections have multiple people. So batter, as we heard Jerry Davis say, most of the complaints now are on balls and strikes, especially called strike three. Called strike three, the batter screams, he gets tossed, the umpire comes out, he gets tossed. That's two guys at the same time. If you've got beanball warnings and somebody throws a pitch inside, you get two managers removed and a pitcher. So in fact, the average ejection event episode is about two people at each time. The time taken by that is a minute and 52 seconds to get somebody tasked. Of course, there's a range on these things, but the average is a minute and 52 seconds. Next thing I looked at was injuries. I documented 528 stoppages of play due to player injuries. They took an average of 2 minutes and 19 seconds. I also documented 7 injuries to umpires that slowed the game. They took an average of 9 minutes and 3 seconds. Well, the large majority of umpire injuries are getting a foul ball on the mask, and he has to go away, and you have to change umpires, and somebody else has to go get the gear on. So, of course, it takes 9 minutes. It's not an unreasonable thing, but there aren't a whole lot of those things. So here's the highlights. This table just shows all of the things I said before, the conclusions of all of those. And the three I highlighted in red are the ones that I think are the most important. Mound visits really do take 81 seconds, not 30. God Bless America adds 71 seconds to the seventh inning stretch. Pitcher change in mid-inning adds 2 minutes and 18 seconds. Those, to me, are the big take-home lessons. In conclusion, I decided to look at regulation length games. So I mean 8.5 or 9 innings. So if you look at that, you find that there were 1,065 8.5 inning games, 1,145 9 inning games. The others were extra innings, of course. So those are kind of close. That there's the home team bats the ninth inning a little more often. The average game time for an 8.5 inning game is 2 hours and 56 minutes. An average for a 9 inning game is 3 hours and 5 minutes. So it takes 9 minutes more to play the bottom of the ninth. The game we saw last night, an 8.5 inning game, took 2:49. So that was a reasonably fast game. So I then did what I call calculated play. That is, I went back and added up all of those half innings that I showed you before, and I already told you these numbers. 2 hours and 12 minutes of actual playing time in the 8.5 inning game, 2 hours and 20 minutes in the 9 inning game. Calculated breaks, I added up what all the real breaks were. They had 42 minutes of between inning times. That's an interesting number. 44 minutes for a 9 inning game, you need 44 minutes of commercials. And you add up those calculated numbers, and I get 255 and 304. And if you compare that to the 256 and 305, I'm a minute off in each of those, which makes me believe I'm actually looking at the right things because I've had to make these totals come out right. So here's a summary of the interruptions. All the different types, and you can read them yourself, and we've already talked about all of these. Pickoff throws, mound visits, how many are there per game? An average of 5.4 mound visits per game, 4.6 pickoff, and how much time do each of those take? So for these interruptions, there's an average per game of 15.1 that take up 17.1 minutes. That's 9.5% of the total playing time is taken up by these interruptions, which I think is interesting. So overall, there are lots of things that lead to longer games. Time between pitches makes a minor contribution. So the answer to the question in my title is no. Time between pitches does not cause long games. So my conclusion, which is a really unsatisfying conclusion, I don't know what MLB could do to make this any faster. I don't know what else they could address. I mean, maybe you could take away commercials. You could get rid of God Bless America, which would be okay. But I don't know what else, what other targets are out there. So my conclusion is kind of a sappy one. You know, the game has changed. These things take longer, and I don't know what else we can do to make anything different out of it. That's kind of where we are. Okay, thanks. Mark? Oh, yeah. We have time for questions, right? Good. Four replays last night, all overturned. So when I got home last night, we got back to my hotel, I was like, I got to dig this out. So I spent an hour or so fiddling around. And since the expanded replays began in 2014, there's about 1,100 of these per year. There have been 14 games that had four replays. And of all those 14, only one other time were all four overturned. And that game, three were at first base, and one was a hit by pitch argument. So last night, with four calls, overturned at first base by the same umpire, another Sabre first. We saw something never happened before. David? Yep. Sure. That doesn't add time. I hate doing just small samples, but when I was doing this, I went to about 20 Phillies games last year with my computer, and I was timing those things just on my own stopwatch, and that doesn't add any time because that's fairly instantaneous. The actual foul ball, I mean, the foul ball hit down the line takes a long time, but the one that batter's feet doesn't take very much. I was surprised at how little that was. Well, we got people actually following the rules over here. We're a technological group.
Hello,
right?
Hello.
Yeah. All right.
So actually, just a quick comment. So, you know, I see a lot of games, and, you know, I noticed that a lot of times during games when it used to be 225 between local, you know, for local games before it was 205, pitcher and batter would be ready to go, maybe 10, 12 seconds right. left, and before they would pitch, the umpire would hold them up, wait till the time ran out, and then, yep. okay, now.
Right.
So that kind of goes against what they purport to be trying to do with it, which is, you know, cutting the time of the game.
I thought the top point was to sell advertising time. Yeah, I'm being nasty, but you're right.
If folks come to the Science and Baseball Committee meeting, we're talking about problems with the game, and the study of the decline in attendance reveals that the pace of play has no effect. Mm-hmm. It's the quality of the play as perceived by the fans. So it's really not a problem that MLB needs to solve except for the psychological impact of the rare frustrating events like a guy throwing over to first base yep. five times or God bless America.
The most I had was four consecutive throws to first last year that I documented last year. Well, I think this is a really catty thing to say, but the people who complain about the length of the game are the sports writers. You don't hear that many fans complaining about it. It's the guys that are doing this for a living that are always griping about how long the game takes. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for that.
Yes, when doing your research, did you find any correlations between like balls put in play, any like particular offensive traits that may, or even pitching traits that may have led on the field to length of game?
Well, that would be like the last pitch to a batter for a ball put in play. And the only place that would show up in my data is how long it took until the next batter came up. And that's a relatively tight thing. It changes over the game, but that's relatively tight for each inning. So, no, I didn't see anything like that.
So I just had a couple questions for everybody in the room. How many here don't care how long the game lasts?
Yeah.
Raise your hand.
Yeah.
How many don't care? How many do care that it lasts too long and it would make you not want to go to the game or watch it? Okay.
Shame on you.
There's your answer. I don't care. Nobody cared. Nobody complained that Gone with the Wind was 3.5 hours. Yeah. If you're entertained, this is the business of entertainment. You can argue about things, yes, can go faster, but I think Major League Baseball, this is not a high priority item. There are much bigger things like other generations, like millennials, not being interested in being attracted to the Major League game.
Well, the one change that I think is going in effect next year is that relief pitchers are going to have to pitch to three batters or to the end of the inning instead of just facing one batter. One of the reasons is to speed things up, and we see that it takes a long time for mid-inning change. I personally doubt that's going to make any difference whatsoever in the time of the game.
So
Do you have an avenue to tell Major League Baseball your findings? Because I think if they could see it in black and white, that it's like you're talking 40 minutes.
You know,
it's
somebody like, I can get in touch with?
Well, no.
These are not easy people to get to talk to.
Okay.
I've tried several ways. I know a bunch of sports writers. I know the Phillies management pretty well. I keep trying to can you like introduce me to these guys in New York? I don't know if they want to hear it or not, but no, I haven't done that. I would love to talk to the people in New York
because
about this.
Because I think that closes the argument right there. It's like you're talking 42 minutes. You know there are commercial breaks. You know there was a lot of action. The other thing is I'm with you. God bless America on special occasions only.
Well, this is really catty, but Major League Baseball has argued against its own product for a long time. It's a wonderful game. God, we take too long. You don't want to be here. You know, what are you talking about? I never have understood that kind of logic. Bill?
Yeah, Dave, first of all, I love this data. This is great, and I don't think any of us have ever seen anything like this before. So I just love that you've had this data available. But my question was, you looked at pitchers that were fast workers, and you looked at pitchers that took a lot of time between innings. Do you have the names of maybe the top two or three fast pitchers and the top two or three slow pitchers?
I did not plant this question, but in fact, I was hoping someone would ask. Thank you, William. They're from last year. There's the slow ones, and there's the fast ones. I don't know what to make out of that. And you look at that by performance. None of them are you know, super big names. And it just since you asked, there's the batters. There's the slowest and the fastest batters. But even then, you know, that's an 8-second range. I don't know, but I'm glad you did that. That was great. Thank you.
It would appear to me then that the difference in the time of game currently to yesteryear is the number of pitchers and number of pitches.
It's pitches. That's what I showed last year. But go look at my paper from last year. It's the number of pitches. That's the strongest correlation.
And also, I wonder whether you looked at rivalry games or postseason games.
No, I didn't look at postseason, partly because, I really mean it, the sample size is too small. You know, I like thousands of games. I don't like 50. There's too much chance for random noise to mess things up. And the rivalries would be even worse. When I've showed this kind of numbers to other people, they say, what is this going to tell us about tonight's game? And the answer is nothing. You know, I can't tell you a single thing about what's going to happen on the field tonight. I can tell you afterwards what these 2,000 games were, which I think is valuable, but I can't make predictions out of this. Is that the end?
Okay.
All right.